Good morning, everybody. Still morning. Just, just want to welcome one or two new people here this morning, and great to be together. I'm going to speak this morning about making the most of your talents, part two. I'll do a tiny little recap in video form in a minute, just for those who weren't here last week, just so that you're familiar with the story. I wonder when you go on a car journey, whether you have any problem with the map reading. Has anybody got any map reading stories? Joe and I have always had a little bit of a problem with this, but we've been married for 35 years now, so we've started to work it out. And my problem is that I'm very confident, but I'm also very spontaneous, and I'm sure I know the way. Do you know people like that? Joe is an avid map reader. In fact, it's very unlikely that she will get into the car without a map on a long journey. And so all the way through, she likes to see where we're going and see the destination. And being a lover of technology, when things like Google Maps came out, I was very happy to be able to use that. And I finally persuaded Joe that Google Maps was a good thing and could be a complement to her map reading. And she was delighted with it. And this time she pointed out the special benefit of Google Maps. Thing is that when you've got an atlas, you can see where you're going, can't you? You see the big picture, you can see where you're going. In a way, that's like the Bible. But with Google Maps, you can see where you are. You can even see the direction that you're going at that moment. You know, they've got these kind of headlight things. We had a discussion this last, when we were coming back from Norfolk this last time. What does this kind of blue kind of funnel thing mean coming out of the way you are? Is it the headlights in front of you, or is it like the wake behind you? Because we were going along a road, and we knew we were going along the wrong road, but it turned out we were going along the right road in the wrong direction. And but you know, it's very important as Christians that we know where we are. Even though we know our destination, we actually may be lost, and we know kind of what the right things, maybe we think we're right, but actually we're in the wrong place. And that's where the Holy Spirit's job, part of what Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would do, he would make us aware of where we are. In fact, it says he will convict you of sin and judgment and righteousness. His job is to make us aware of where we are. So let's just stand for a minute and just pray today that not only will God give us a little bit of the atlas this morning, but also the Holy Spirit will shine on our hearts and show us where we are on that map. Father, we thank you for church. We thank you for the privilege of being part of your body. Thank you, Lord, that we are not alone on this journey. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your patience with us on this journey. Father, we need to know where we are. Sometimes I feel I'm so blind, I can't really see where I am. And then something happens and I think, oh, that's where I am. Father, we pray that your Spirit will work in our hearts today. Could he stir us up? Could he nudge us? Could he prod us? Could he shine this light so that we know where we are? May he encourage us on the journey. May he give us fresh light today. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. Do you want to switch the lights off, Bob? And we'll see you. This is a little animation of the parable of the talents story. Fantastic. Good, isn't it? Makes you think about the story. I'll refer to that briefly in what I'm talking about this morning, but making the most of your talents. Has anybody thought about this last week? About their talents, about their gifts, about their life? Actually, the talent, really, the biggest talent that God has given us, it's your life, isn't it? The big question this morning is, what am I going to do with this life that God has given to me? There were those three servants there, and the third one, he looked a little bit miffed. doesn't actually explain whether he was or why he reacted the way he did. So we can speculate a little bit about that. But he, one talent in those days, we worked out last week, was worth about £325,000. So that wasn't just like a little bit of pocket money he was given. He was actually given a lot. And you know, we are all given a lot. We have a lot of days to live. We have a lot of gifts that God has given us. And we need to look at our lives and thank God for what he's given us and use our lives for his glory. Let's have a look at the first, the five-talent servant. Just to remind you, he who'd received the five talents went at once, Jesus said. Remember that this parable was spoken to us by Jesus. It's his parable, and he wants to say something to us through this. And every word is important. That little phrase, he went at once. Are you an at-once person? That when you feel God said something, I know somebody that after the Sunday morning sermon, very often they download it, they get out their notebook, and they work out how they can put the Sunday morning sermon into action in their lives. I wish I was like that. I confess I'm not. But it's a good attitude, isn't it? Immediately, at once, when we feel God saying something, we do it. And he traded with them. He used his talent. God wants us to use our gifts. That's the message of the story. What was the reward? What was the benefit? His master said to him, "Well done." Do you like that word? Sometimes people say to us, "Well done." You can see it sound a little bit patronizing. But actually, when it's said genuinely, it's very nice, isn't it? When people say, "Well done," because they're genuinely pleased with the way you've done something. Well done. He had the pleasure of pleasing his master. Well done, good and faithful servant. A bit of affirmation there. Number two, you've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. That as God gives us little things to do, he will give us more to do. If you are eager to be useful to God in your life, then be faithful in the small things. We talked last week about Philip, the evangelist. Actually, he was Philip the deacon, or Philip the servant. He was one of seven people that was chosen when the Greek widows were a bit upset that they weren't getting enough money to look after them. It was going to all the Jewish widows. And so Peter and John said, "We're going to keep on preaching and praying, but choose from yourself good, faithful men to sort out this, you know, the tables. We can't work at these tables." And they were faithful. Before very long, Stephen was martyred because he rose up in his faithfulness. God gave him more to do. And Philip, the evangelist, we find him going down to Samaria and really leading a revival in that place, following up on the story of the woman of the Samaria, where many, many people in that town, and it says there was joy in that city. There was a reward for Philip of joy, that joy that spilled out onto him because he was given more because he was faithful over a little. Enter into the joy of your master. I am so grateful for joy in my Christian life. If I find that my joy is running low, it causes me to draw near to God, to go back to him. Because my experience has been from the age of 17, I experienced a joy and a happiness that I had never known before. And that keeps me going. I need it. And here's some of it, that as we're faithful, there's a joy in serving. Then the one talent guy, this little fella, you know, there was the five talent and the two ten, there was the other guy, wasn't there? What did he do? He said, "I know you're a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed." You see, he took his talent and he buried it. And then not only did he bury it and do something wrong in doing that, he actually blamed the master. He blamed God. Actually, if we take the parable, we interpret the parable, he was blaming God for his behavior. We should never blame God for our behavior. The responsibility always comes back to us. And he said, "You're a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow." So I was scared. What was he scared of? Maybe he was scared that if he actually used his money or invested his money, he'd lose it. And then the master would come back, and instead of that little bit in that box, there wouldn't be anything left. But whatever it was, he was afraid. Well, the master was having nothing of it. He said, "So I was afraid. I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, there you are. You have what is yours. It's a deal. You get back what you gave me." Do you think the master was impressed? No. His master said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the other guy." He was not impressed with his excuses. Okay, you got this concept of me. You're a little bit of afraid of a few things, but get around your fears. Fear is a many-headed beast. It's a big monster in many people's lives. I've experienced fear. We have all experienced fears. Some people have fears that they spend their whole lives trying to get round. But you know, don't be put off by that. God will deliver us from fear. He's a master at getting us through our fears. But in the meantime, while you're still afraid, find another way of doing it. Don't let fear stop you pleasing God. So that was the story of the talent. And I just want to just give you this morning what I think are some of the keys, really, in making the most of our lives and making sure that our lives really count for something. There are some things that we need to understand. Romans 12, chapter 3. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." We have two problems. One, we can think too highly of ourselves. Two, we can think too little of ourselves. And both are a problem. Anybody here ever watch The X Factor? Anybody here ever not watch The X Factor? I want you to pray for me afterwards. But one of the extraordinary things in the early stages, I don't know whether you actually go from the early and get right through to the end, but in the early stages you get everybody who, they think they're amazing. And so you get these people who are so not talented. Even by me, an untalented person, I look at them and think, why did you even apply? What are you doing here? And then the X Factor judges, they say, "I'm very sorry. They're nice." If it's Simon Cowell, they say, "You're rubbish." But whatever, you'd get this reaction, a look of like utter shock, because they're convinced that they are the best and they're going to win the show, because they've got a completely wrong concept of their giftings and their talents. By the way, church is not a talent show. I'm not talking about X Factor. I'm not talking about the weird and wonderful, about singing and dancing. I'm talking about how we can please God with our lives. But we need to have a right concept of what God has made us. The other problem is that we think too little of ourselves. And we need to see something about ourselves. And in these verses, Romans 12, 4, it says, "As in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function." We can have a very set idea about church. You come on Sunday morning, there's a leader, there's somebody who's probably going to give you a boring sermon. There's musicians, probably somebody greeting you at the door, and that's church. So you come, you sit down, you say hello to a few people, you drink the coffee, and you go home. Now, for many people, actually, that is their experience. In some denominations, I'm not being critical, because actually we can be just the same if we're not very careful. But the point is that that is not church. Church is not a building. Church is not the Sunday service. What is church? Anybody want to have a guess? Yes, you, me, us, we are church. And it's not just a theory, it's a practice. It says, for as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function. In fact, none of us have the same function. We are so varied, we are so different. We are amazing the way God has made us. The longer I live, the more amazed I am at God's creation. And particularly how he has created people so beautiful in their own way, with such extraordinary and diverse gifts. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. What a miracle. And we're going to be celebrating that on International Day. That we, this crowd of different, diverse people, could yet be so different and yet one. And we are individually members of one another, just like my hand and my foot are members of the same body. We are connected, and we cannot do without one another. Romans 12, 6 to 8, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. That master, it says, he handed out those talents according to their ability. God never gives us anything to do without giving us the ability to do it. I truly believe that. That gives me a lot of peace going into a difficult day. Often I have faced things for many years. I've faced situations that I thought, this is impossible. A day that looks, oh, I wake up, oh no. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, even to lunchtime. I've got such challenging things. But I say, God, if you have given me this thing to do today, you will give me the grace to do it. That is the truth, and I believe it. And I believe it because I've had to try it out, and it's become true many, many days of my life, that God gives us the power to do what he asks us to do. So having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, the ability given to us, let us use them. And here there are seven things. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but there are various lists of jobs, job descriptions in the Bible, and this is one of them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith. So that means that if you're, it's something prophecy, you know, you can all prophesy. It says that in 1 Corinthians 14. We can all prophesy. Prophecy is hearing from God and saying what he's saying. Essentially, that's what it is. And I believe that God has given that ability to every believer. But God may give somebody a special gift of prophecy. We've had people come to this church. Remember Nola? I've never met anybody quite like that, with such an extraordinary prophetic gift. I brought people to meet her, and I remember one sitting at the back, Rob and Trudy, and they, Trudy said to me, could you introduce me to Nola? And I said, sure. So Nola meets Rob and Trudy for the first time, and she says, I just see a big table and lots of people around that table, and God's given you the gift of hospitality. Well, they have a big table. I think you still got a big table, Rob. And God had given them the gift of hospitality. I had seen it in action. And the prophecy that she gave was to encourage them in the thing that he had given them to do. And her life was just like that. So she has had to give herself to that gift because God had given her a special service in that way. If service in our serving, there's somebody sitting at the back. I hope you don't mind me talking about you, Phil. I won't do it again, but I'm going to this morning. Because Phil turns up every Sunday except a very few Sundays a year. He puts up, he gets out the big coffin, opens it up, out comes the sound desk, he sets it up. We are sending him material before the meeting. Would you mind doing this? And if we want to annoy him, we give it to him late. He controls the sound. The gift that God has given him, the expertise in all things technical, he does it and you don't even know it's going on. The very fact that I can do this and we had the video and we had the songs before, there's a technical expertise. It's his gift. At the end of the meeting, when most people have gone, Phil is still here putting the stuff away. At the end of the meeting, he will go away and voluntarily, nobody pays him for this, he puts the thing on the website. And probably doesn't often get thanked for what he does. Thank you, Phil. But that's just one example of many acts of service. Hey, Phil also has a great deal of power. You just want me to say it again, Phil, don't you? That's just one example of the many things happening in the church that people don't see. I've had calls the last week or so to try and find out whether somebody is who's visiting somebody who's unwell. And of course you realize who's visiting and who takes their time for hospital visits, how many people in the church are texting and sending encouraging scriptures and whatever, and you begin to see so many of the things that are happening silently, acts of service. We are the body of Christ, and it's much bigger than Sundays. He who teaches, obviously, if it's someone like me who has the job of teaching on a Sunday sometimes, then I have to try and do a good job and not just put in the effort, but in the prayer that I try to do the thing with God's help. Exhortation, that just means really encouragement. There are some incredible encouragers in New Life. Somebody last week thanked me for my talk. I wasn't expecting any thanks, but it was so encouraging. And that person very often encourages me after the meeting. And I've heard her, she'll send a text to Joe and other people she encourages. She has got a gift of encouragement. It just spills out of her. She can almost do nothing without encouraging people. Of course, encouragement is a gift for all of us, and we can all do this, but I don't know whether she spends time thinking, how can I encourage people this week? But it seems a bit like that. He who contributes. You know, the church exists in a material way through what is given. The children of Israel, when they built the tabernacle, everything in the tabernacle was made of what people gave, whether it was wooden, whether it was brass, whether it was the jewels, whether it was the gold in the tabernacle that was melted down, huge amounts of materials. And Moses said, whoever is the Spirit of God moves upon his heart to contribute, come. And they had so much material for that tabernacle in the wilderness, they had to say, stop now, because people were so generous in their giving. But you see, it doesn't come from nowhere. We are the body of Christ. If we all stopped giving, we wouldn't be meeting in this hall, because it's just us, isn't it? We together are the body of Christ, what we each contribute. But this is talking about a ministry, a service of giving. It may be that God has given people a gift for business where they make a large amount of money and they just love to give to God's work. It's a gift of contribution, a service in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. There are many leaders in this church, leaders of the children's work, leaders in home groups. A lot of leading that happens, and you never get the title of leader. You just naturally lead other people. Leading is very equivalent to serving, actually. And so leadership, if God has called you to lead in whatever area it is, take it seriously. That's what it's saying. Lead with zeal, not reluctantly. Give yourself to it. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. What does that mean? I think this is things like food bank. Possibly ECOS comes into that a little bit, where we just want to give something into people's lives. Possibly people who don't know Jesus. The homeless shelter that we do at Christmas time with the other churches. Acts of mercy. Now, some people feel that they are particularly called to that and they just love doing that and they want to give their time to it. Well, do it with cheerfulness. That's what it says. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. We've moved to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Well, that's crazy, isn't it? Well, you know that's crazy. But you could say that, and it wouldn't be true. And there are people who don't feel like they're part of the body of Christ. Sometimes people feel alienated. They don't feel part of it. My advice would be get more involved, actually, and you'll begin to feel more part of the body of Christ. But however you feel and whatever you say, the truth is you are a member of the body of Christ. And if you're not functioning in that role as a member, then in one sense, you're depriving Jesus of a part of his body. We are his hands and feet. How extraordinary that he has given us that responsibility. If the ear should say, here we've got a walking ear. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? You see, we are all absolutely necessary in this work. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. This is a body, I don't know if you can see that, it's just made up of lots of little different people, because that's the body of Christ. I'm looking at the body of Christ this morning. There are millions and millions, hundreds of millions of Christians meeting in churches today. And they are this huge body of Christ, which is just made up of millions and millions of individual people. And we are just a local expression of that. But we are a body of Christ. You know, the Bible talks about the body of Christ, which is the whole thing. But it also talks about a body of Christ. That's us. That's Revelation. That's St. Luke's. That's Chalk Farm Baptist Church. That's the individual expressions of the body of Christ. And you, most of you, are members of this part of the body. If you feel this is where God has put you, we are members. And God arranges the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. You didn't choose to be here this morning. Yes, you did. You had to tell your feet to come here. But actually, God is at work putting the body together. You are unique. Put your hands up if you don't mind. If you believe it, I am unique. I am unique. You are, Pat. I know that. There is no other one. I remember going to a football game at Wembley one day, and they were all, as we went down Wembley Way, they were singing, "There's only one Alan Shearer." So you can tell how long ago that was. Well, there's only one Bob Suster. There's only one Pat. There's only one Sally Hawkins. There's only one of each of us. And if we're not playing our part, there's something missing. You see, we are unique, we are different, and we are important. Now, the problem with these 5, 3, and 1 talent things was that the 5 talent guy, he knew he got some stuff there. And he went out straight away and invested it. And the 2 talent guy did as well. But you know, the problem is when we think we've only got one talent. In fact, we don't even notice that we've got one. We don't think we've got anything. We don't think we're important. If you come to me after the meeting, I will tell you what you've got. I can see everybody here this morning, and I can tell you, you've all got something. Just by the expression on your face, you go into work and God has given you a joy. He has given you a smile. He has given you kindness. We've got so much. We are unique. 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, "For God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now." And I just want to say to you this morning, tomorrow, today, is the day you use your gifts. Don't wait until you've finished university. Oh, when I finish uni, then I'll really get involved in the church. I'll come to this, I'll come to that. Or, you know, when I'm mature, a mature Christian, then I'll do it. The way to get mature is to use your gifts. Use them now, or they get rusty. We talked about those grace gifts in Romans. Last week we talked about the gifts of Jesus to the church, which was in Ephesians 4. The apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, in the wrong order. But those 5 people, and they were there to ensure that the saints, that's you again, the unique ones, that the saints did the work of the ministry. Those five guys were just there to make sure everybody else did the job. John Bagkin, who used to be one of the leaders here many years ago, and we were very young leaders at that time, and he said to us, your job, he said, our job is to do ourselves out of a job. That's what he said. Our job is to do ourselves out of a job. In other words, we should be so busy encouraging other people to become who they are and what they are in the body of Christ that we won't have anything left to do. So I want to just turn our eyes briefly to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are different. They're not like jobs that God gives us. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, but earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So I'm not showing you these things this morning. We're not reading these things so that we can pursue them, because actually we pursue love. Talking with Verd and Regina the other day, we were talking about maturity, and the thought came to me that the measure of maturity, it's not our spiritual gifts. The measure of our maturity is love, and always will be. And love will bring us into the gift of the Spirit if we've got enough of it. But the spiritual gifts are very important. God has given them to us as in the church to do a special work. And we should earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Do you desire spiritual gifts? Hands up if you do. I don't expect everybody would do. Thank you. I would say that sometimes I do, often I don't. I've seen spiritual gifts misused, and it's been discouraging. And sometimes you think it would be safer maybe if we didn't have so many of those things. But we've got to go beyond that, haven't we? We must desire the real thing. We must desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. Why is prophecy so important? It's very important, I think, for one reason. We can all do it. And the whole thing of listening to God and seeing what God is doing is part of the rest of the gifts. But we can all bring the Word of God to each other at different times. And we should be doing as a church regularly, hearing from God and speaking out what He's saying. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Look at the beautiful pattern in Scripture here. I love the Bible. So I wrote down these verses, and I just highlighted all the mentions of the Holy Spirit. I highlighted the bits that talked about another. And there's such a beautiful pattern in these verses. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. They're God's gifts, and they are empowered by God. 1 Corinthians 12:7, this is you, okay? Think, this is me, this verse is about. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What is the manifestation of the Spirit? It's a big word, isn't it? And Vernon will tell me off if I don't explain it, because he doesn't let me say big words without explaining them to his friends. Manifestation means expression. They are the expressions. They're the way the Holy Spirit wants to express himself. To each is given. So to every one of us, God wants to give these things. The expression of the Spirit. Why? So that everybody could be blessed. Sometimes we think the spiritual gifts are for me. I've got the gift of prophecy. No, it's God's gift in the first place. And by the virtue of the fact that it's a gift, it's for somebody else, for the common good. And here they are. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, some of these things may seem to us theoretical because we haven't seen them. In my Christian life, I've seen a lot of these gifts. I've seen some healing. I've seen some miraculous things. I've seen quite a lot of prophecy. I've seen tongues and interpretation of tongues, but only in a very small amount compared to what God wants to see in the church. And I believe he wants to do more through us. So we need to desire these things. We haven't got time to go into all these things this morning, but it says in 12:10, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wants. You see, it's God's church, Jesus' body, as the Spirit will, not as I want, but as the Spirit wills. I've found that we've seen more expressions of the gifts of the Spirit. Very often, sometimes there's been a meeting and there's been a great worship time, and there's just something's happened in the meeting. And you think, wow, God seems to be here in a special way. And when that happens, if I've been speaking or involved in it, then it's just incredible. You don't have to say, if anybody's got a word from God, could they come to the front? People just come. God, show me this. God, show me that. God, show me the other. Because when the Spirit is moving, he distributes according to his wills. And maybe this morning, even as I'm speaking, God is showing you things. I don't know. It's as he wills. So, understanding, very quickly, availability. Somebody once said the only ability we need as a Christian is availability. That means willing to be used by God. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, Paul says, I beg you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Just make yourselves available. Not like Isaiah when he saw the Lord and he said, Lord, here am I, send him. Wrong. He said, Lord, here am I, send me. You see, I don't know what it is that God wants us to do. I've never worked out what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian, honestly. You know, what is the calling on my life? Since I've become a Christian, I've just always wanted to be available. What needs doing? Let me do it. Let me get involved. Church starts at 9 o'clock. The chairs need to be put out. Things need to be put together. I want to be there. I just want to be involved in what God is doing, whether it seems to be a menial task or a spiritual task. And I think that's right. And there are many people here at New Life that have that same attitude. God, I'm not going to wait for some special gifting. What needs doing? I'm available. And those are the people like Stephen and Philip that God will give spiritual gifts and responsibilities because he knows he can trust you. Thirdly, desire. Do we want the spiritual gifts? Let's pray that God gives us a renewed desire, a renewed thirst for them. Finally, pursue love. Pursue love. This is the most important thing, isn't it? That we love one another. I'm going to finish just a second, but just think, when did you see the gifts of the Spirit expressed most? When did you see this manifestation of the Spirit? Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking baptisms. That when people are baptized, there's a real flow of prophecy and God's word comes. Why? Because everybody loves the person being baptized. And so they may never have heard from God or seen a vision or whatever, but they just, you know, they love the person. And so God is able to use them because the love draws out the gifts. Often in small groups, Sunday mornings like this could be intimidating, but in a small group, often in prayer meetings, if you come along to our Tuesday night prayer meeting, you will find that God's word is shared and people are listening to God and they're growing in the things of God just by being there and loving and praying. And then often, I think, at church, not like publicly, sometimes we have a visiting speaker or very occasionally somebody may have some word or something from the front and may God do it more. But actually, when we say, let's break up into twos and threes and just pray for one another. And just at that time, as we're listening to God for the person that we're talking to, the gifts of the Spirit are manifest. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, musicians. They're acts of service, Sunday after Sunday, putting the equipment together, putting it away, doing the songs beforehand, so many things. And it's a blessing that we can just come along and enjoy what they give us. But let's just think for a minute. Let's think for a minute. Do we understand that we are unique, that we are important, that we are members of the body of Christ? God wants to draw us in more and make us more useful. Do we desire the things of the Spirit? Are we open to the things of the Spirit? Are we available to God this morning? Let's stand, shall we? Do you want to put the words of what I think we're singing? Living for your glory? So let's have the words up before we sing. Let us down, Phil. What good is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? What good is it to make a sweet sound but remain proud? Let's the next words. In view of God's mercy, I offer my all. Straight out of Romans 12, verse 1. In view of God's kindness, I offer my all. So as we're singing this morning, let's actually think about these words. I offer my all. The next one. Take my life. Let it be everything. All of me. Here I am. Use me for your glory. The road I'm on, it leads nowhere without you. And the life I live, it finds meaning in surrender. It's really the only meaningful thing in our lives, isn't it? The Jesus part. Where we are loving people and laying down our lives and asking God to use us. I'm seeking first your kingdom. Are you? Am I seeking first his kingdom? Lord, may we seek first his kingdom before other stuff in our lives. May the kingdom of God be the most important thing. Father, we come to you this morning and we just want to offer you our lives. Even as we sing the words of this song, Lord, I pray that they will become real to us, Lord, that we would mean and understand the words that we're singing, and that your Spirit would move upon our hearts, Lord, that we may live for your glory, that we may see your kingdom come, that we may see your church built up, that we may see the world saved and many coming to know you, Lord. We offer you our thoughts and imaginations. We offer you our careers. We offer you our hobbies, our meal times, our friends. Father, we're giving it all to you afresh today. Would you breathe life into us, Lord, and use our lives. Joe was reading last night about William Booth, and at the age of 15, he said to God, God, you can have all of William Booth. And he was the guy who God used to bring the Salvation Army that had an incredible impact worldwide. But it started when a man called William Booth said, Lord, you can have all of William Booth. Let's sing this.
And I feel God wants to us to humbly come before him again. And say, God, if this is you, would you help me? Would you help me to do it even on a small scale?
Yes, Lord.
And the picture I had was of a sea of kelp in the deep seas. There is this very long seaweed. Jesus. And it's rooted into the ground. And if there's not water, it's just floppy. It can't stand up by itself. And that was the picture I had this morning before the prayer meeting, before the church. And I just felt God saying, you need to be rooted in me, and then you need my presence around you to lift you up and allow you to flow in me.
Yes.
And so this morning, whatever God's put in your heart to do, whatever you feel maybe doesn't have enough power,
yes.
We all need more of his power to live our lives. And to lift us up so that we're not just floppy kelp on the beach, but that we're waving in the sea, in the deep seas of his presence.
Yes.
So let's just allow his presence to come into our hearts now as we sing in this.
Holy Spirit.
And but then also let's take time to pray after this, turn in twos to pray, and just asking God for his help on those things in our lives, for a deeper flow of his Holy Spirit to enable us.
Just sense God's Holy Spirit is present with us. We know that he's always with us, but there's a sense of his Holy Spirit. He's wanting us to move on with him. He's wanting to fill us afresh. He's wanting to use our lives. If you're wanting him to use your life, stretch out your hand. Just stretch one hand up to heaven. We're reaching out to you, Lord. Just watch us, Lord, as we reach out to you this morning, Lord, this afternoon. Father, we're looking to you. We're saying, Lord, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, Lord. Come and wash us, cleanse us. Send a new breeze of your Spirit through us, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, thank you for being our helper. Hear us as we cry in our hearts. We are weak and feeble, but we want more of you, Lord. Fill us afresh. Send a breeze of your Spirit into our lives, Lord. Send some water. We're thirsty. We're like the kelp. We need that water around us in a greater way. Let's go on singing this song. If you need to pick up your children or you want to get a glass of water or something, feel absolutely free. But for those of you who want to, let's just stay a little longer. Those that want to, as we sing this again, and just let God move in your heart afresh.
Let me start today's service by sharing with you my experience as a young Christian. When I was a very young boy, we used to attend this very lovely church. And I called it lovely church because we had sweets. You call them candies. And every Sunday, the priest will just stand by the entrance of the church and hand over candies to all the children. And we used to like go and tell our friends in school who were not Christians and their parents weren't Christians, but they would come on Sunday because of the candy. And the pastor noticed that they had more children, a lot more, than the parents in the church. And it's like David said in Psalm 122. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in the gates, in the King James version, it says, O Jerusalem, meaning the city of peace. So when we come to God's presence every time, we are being invited to the city of peace. Yes, sometimes we may not have this peace around us. We may not even see this peace around us. But the assurance is that God is saying, every time you come to my presence, the sweets and the candies you get is the peace for your heart. Let's rise up on our feet. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you for the life that we have, for the gift of your salvation. Thank you for counting us worthy to be here in your presence today. Thank you for the beauty of your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for who and what you are. Thank you for everything. We want to connect with you this morning. Let your Holy Spirit come down upon us. Let we dwell amongst us. Let everything we do today be controlled by you, Lord. Fill our hearts with joy. Amen.
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 Time of the meeting where we turn and greet one another. Say hi, say hello, greet a stranger, greet a friend. Make sure no one's missed out. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the notices. I know. Always so eagerly anticipated. And this morning's first notice regards a very special Sunday coming up on the 23rd of September. A wonderful, truly international service. And John is going to talk a little bit about that this morning.
Hello again. Well, I had the privilege of attending a barbecue at Abiola and Yomi's place yesterday. And Lola and I met this wonderful young woman who turned 60 about a few weeks ago. And she decided to tell us a story. She said, when I was 60, I said to my husband, I want to have a party. And I want to invite all our friends. Because they used to live in America, they used to live in Turkey, they used to live in India, and a couple of other countries. And she says, we have friends all over these countries, and I want to invite them. And the husband said, that's fine. He says, but I want to do something a bit more than that. And the husband says, what? He says, I want every nationality to be represented on every table. So if your husband was a Nigerian and your wife was a Nigerian, you weren't sitting together on the same table. We can only have one Nigerian on each table. So the husband says, no, 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 you can't do that. And she says, well, it's my birthday party. I can do what I want. So that's the sitting arrangement, and that's how everyone is going to sit. But that's not the story. Here it is. She said, on that day, I looked at every table, and everyone was represented on each table. My friends from India, from Pakistan, from Nigeria, from Canada, from Australia, on each table, every nation that had invited was seated. And she said, after the party, everyone rang her and said, thank you for the opportunity because I've never met somebody from that country before. I've never met somebody from this country before, and you gave me the opportunity. And that reminds me of what the Bible says in Psalm 133. Can we have it up, please? It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Verse 2, it's like precious. Yeah, thank you. Precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beards. Now, let me just give you a simple, I'm sure Pastor Paul wouldn't have that understanding because he doesn't use no hair oil no more. He used to do that, but not anymore. I'm still doing that. Hopefully, I won't. Well, I have this lovely oil called Morgan. And when I rub it on my hair, there's this sensation that I feel. And the Bible is saying that when we are together, different people, so to speak, different nationalities, different nations, that it's like this oil that pulls together everything, the love of God, the mercy of God, the truthfulness of God. And what God is saying is that on the 23rd of September, we can replicate heaven. I want you to, maybe in the next few weeks, pick up a card. If for those that have mobile phone, text a friend, text a neighbor, text a colleague at work. Say, come and enjoy the Lord's Day with me. It's Sunday, the 23rd of September at 10:30. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, John. You may have noticed that summer has arrived today. More traditional English summer weather. And we've got the summer Sundays coming up. So through August, we tend to have family-orientated meetings. A lot of people are away. So the meeting tends to be shorter and all the children stay in. But in the past few years, we've had the most wonderful and sweet time over these summer Sundays. So we're really looking forward to that. And afterwards, praying that we have less traditional English summer weather or more what we've got used to. A nice sunny day. We'll be having a barbecue. Sorry, not barbecue. We'll be having a picnic, over at the bandstand on Hampstead Heath. And at that, we'll be inviting friends from ECOS to come along as well. So there'll be opportunities for us to share, talk, and play games, yes, on Sunday afternoon. So we're looking forward to that. And so that'll be starting the 5th next Sunday, indeed, which would be great. And now Nick has got something to say.
Yes, something very exciting. Joe, do you want to come and... Michelle, the bell. Michelle, do you remember that one? My bell. There you go.
Could I have my little helpers, please?
Four little helpers. They're not that little, are they?
Yeah. So, today we want to celebrate Sally's birthday. Sally has been a great... trustworthy friend to many of us and a hard-working member of New Life Church for a great number of years. She's been great fun and adventurous, skiing on the Black Runs and going on lots of group holidays with us. Sally has worked hard at Carroty Wood Children's Camp for many years, both at the camp and behind the scenes. She's generous and hardworking. She has tirelessly supported families and children from the church and outside the church with energy and enthusiasm. And I thought we should celebrate her name. So we've got S. Sally is supportive, always. Right, A is always. Sally is always reliable, always faithful, and always friendly. L, Sally is loyal. L, Sally is loving. And Y, why? That was hard. So why is she all these things? Because she loves Jesus, she's full of Jesus, and Jesus shines brightly through her across London. So we're truly grateful for Sally, and we want to wish her a really happy birthday.
Yeah. Can you guys all stay here? Yes. Just like the guys say, that's a card that lots of people have signed for you, Sally. Just very quickly, guys, if you could just all stay, that would be wonderful. A long, long time ago, when we had little people, we went through a terribly difficult time. And in the midst of that time, we had two angels who came to us. And their names were Sally and Michelle. And genuinely, again and again and again, when we were very desperate, our son was very sick, we had financial difficulties, there were various things going on. These guys turned up again and again and again. And they were to us at that time like angels. And God knitted our hearts together, and that has stayed all this time. And Sally became our friend at that time and has stayed as our friend, is much adored by both my children and now by these little grandchildren that we have. And they've really taken her into their hearts. This morning when I prayed, I found this verse, and I just wanted to read it out. Unusually for one of these verses, it's from Leviticus, okay? But there are many good verses in Leviticus. And I felt that Sally is very open in sharing that life has been difficult at times for her, like it has for many of us. And I felt that God was saying that you were like the fine flower, that He's made you like this fine flower through what you've gone through. And so it says, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, this is Leviticus 2 verse 1, his offering shall be fine flour, and he shall pour oil onto it and put frankincense on it. And I felt, Sally, that the Holy Spirit was saying that this fine flour that he's made you, he is going to pour in a new way oil onto you, and frankincense that rises up to heaven, pleasing God, and that the best is yet to come. So we want to just pray. I think Nick's going to come and pray. We're going to bless Sally now just together. If you guys could stay up too, that would be great.
Father, we want to thank you. Personally, I'm so grateful to Sally for the kindness she's shown us over the years, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to her, Lord. And thank you for all the kind things she's done to many people in the church and outside the church, Lord. Father, we want to pray as a church for this oil that Joe's mentioned, this Holy Spirit, to be poured out afresh upon her life, Lord. Would you protect her? Would you deliver her from evil, Lord? Would your kingdom come in a new way in her life? Amen. Now, we...
I wanted to come to the front to say thank you to you as a church. I've been part of this church for 30 years or a little bit more. And it's been like a family for me in London. I have a really loving family. I'm really appreciative that I grew up hearing about God. And as soon as it really meant something in my heart, I asked Jesus into my heart. But you have been my family here and helped me carry on growing closer to Jesus. So I really thank you for the love, unconditional acceptance through definite ups and downs, and really appreciated it. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. You can all go back to your seats except for Sally, because Sally deserves to be embarrassed further. And since we none of us suffer our pain alone, Sherry's going to come and share her pain with us. Do you want to come, Sherry? It's also Sherry's birthday. Yes. I know Sally's birthday, but I don't know Sherry's, and it's going to stay secret, okay? Let's just pray for Sherry, and then we're going to sing them a nice happy birthday. Father, we want to thank you also for Sherry, Lord. She's not been around at New Life for so long, but the years that she's been here, we really appreciate all that you put in her life, all that you have done through her. And we pray also for her that today will be a new start, will be a new beginning, Lord, as the days of the righteous get brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. Amen. So, happy birthday to you. In a Jordan.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sally and Sherry.
An amazing carroty wood cake. Thank you so much. Okay, that's it. Guys, the children can now leave for their groups, and there'll be a 1-minute comfort break.